The recordings have started. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Haley. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG CCWGL Accountability Discussion on Tuesday, 28th of February, 2017. On the call today, we have Avery Doria, Bazani Badi, John Carr, Yoel Pelsinger, Michael Karanikolas, Patricia, Patrick Lenihan, Robin Gross, Tatiana Tropina, and from staff we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Robin.
Hey, Mariam, this is Ed Morris. I'm on audio only at the moment, just so you know. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Great. Thanks very much, and thank you all for joining the call today. As you know, this is our last discussion before ICANN 58 in Copenhagen. Many of us will be taken off in about a week for that, so this is our last opportunity to sort of all get on the same page and see how we can make the most productive use of our time in Copenhagen on this issue. So thank you very much for joining. Let's quickly review the agenda. First, let's take a look at where we are with the dashboard and then go through the nine different topics. There are subtopics in Workstream 2 that we're working on right now, and so we could go through those. And then we've got some other Workstream 2 issues that we should discuss, like the issue of joining the topics, the subtopics for public consultation and approval by the SOAC. So that's kind of a separate issue we need to think about and come up with a position on. And then our next plan for our next meeting next month and any other business. So is there anyone who'd like to add anything to this agenda or has any questions on it? Okay, well, I don't see or hear anyone, so let's just go forward. The first issue is sort of where we are now and what's up next. And if you take a look at the link for the Workstream 2 dashboard, it should be posted there on the screen. It's actually a really helpful tool, these Workstream 2 dashboards, to get a sense of where all the different groups are and what they're focusing on and how close are they to completion and what's up next. And so the most recent one was published on the 7th of February. So it's about 3 weeks behind, but still pretty fairly accurate. So it might be useful to sort of follow along with that dashboard tool as we go along and some of the different sub-issues, because I think it is really helpful. Okay, well, let's just dive right into the different subtopics. And the first one is on human rights and ICANN's commitment to create a framework of interpretation to respect human rights. And I know Tatiana's been very active in that particular subgroup. So if I could ask her to give us an update about where we are. And there, I think we've had at least one, maybe two readings so far, but why don't I let Tatiana explain where we are with that. Please, Tatiana, can you take over?
Thank you. Thank you, Robin. Hi, all. Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. So I believe that as the last call of this group was at the end of January, as far as I'm concerned, right, Robin, can you confirm this? I have to recap a bit, because I believe that on that call, NEWS provided all of you with the information that after the second reading, the framework of interpretation for the human rights by the law will go to the public comment, and I'm actually happy to say that it didn't happen for one reason. So a bit of recap now. The group itself, the working, the subgroup team on human rights, on interpretation of the human rights by law, had two annexes to produce documents in compliance with. The first annex of the accountability report, Annex 6, lists tasks of the group So they looked like the group can produce two different documents. And that's what the group was aiming to do. The first document we produced and which went through two readings was the framework of interpretation of the human rights core value by law. And it represented the textual interpretation of the bylaw. But there was something else in both Annex 6 and Annex 12. There were points for consideration for the group, not only to interpret the text of the bylaw, but also say what kind of influence this bylaw has on GAC advice, or which policies or frameworks, if any, ICANN has to adopt to obey, to respect human rights, or which international instruments, if any, ICANN is going to use to do so, and so on. So there were a few points for considerations which looked in the Annex 6 like the group could produce two different documents, but Annex 12 listed all the points for consideration, including the textual interpretation of the bylaw, as only one document. So the group had to stop the process, and I have to admit that I was the one who stopped the process of the framework of interpretation for going to the public comments, because I believe that this process was not finished yet, because the plenary, the CCWG plenary, told that the group has to confirm that the group is finished the work under the Annex 12, which lists only one document. So after two readings of the textual interpretation of the bylaw, we are still not done with the consideration interpretation. So right now, for 4 weeks, the group has been working on addressing different considerations which I listed above, like what kind of influence this core value will have on GAC advice, what in which way different SOs and ACs will have to take this human rights by law into consideration in their policy-making process and so on. And I have to say that it has been a very interesting discussion, because in the beginning, most of the group told that we actually addressed all these considerations while we were discussing the textual interpretation of the bylaw, but the more we work on this right now, the more discussions we have, and I'm very happy to say that we are really moving to the high-quality discussions. We get more and more people involved into the drafting this document or commenting or doing reality checks of this document. And right now, after the call, we spend the whole call working on just few paragraphs, which is amazing, because even 2 calls ago, the first consideration document, which was very short and very straightforward, was people were going through it without even commenting on it. So I'm very happy to say that while we don't have much time left for this, we are working on this, we are addressing, we are coming to compromise, taking into account different positions, like, for example, concerning RAGI principles, UN Guiding Principles for Business and Human Rights, because many of the group members say, participants say that these RAGI principles are not applicable. Others say that ICANN can still take them into account as a guidance. And we are trying to figure out how to reflect all the positions in a consensus way in this second consideration document, which will then be merged with the textual interpretation of the bylaw and will go as a final work of the group for the public comment as a single document. I also want to say that what makes me happy right now is that even though we don't have much time, and we are apparently not in time for Copenhagen meeting, because the deepness and the quality of the discussions are very good, and it takes time for people to agree, it takes time people for reach a compromise, but I'm very happy with how it is going, and I'm also very happy that we are not compromising on the quality of this job, we're not sacrificing the quality for reaching the time frames or deadlines. Well, that's all from me. I would be happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. That's really helpful. It sounds like this one isn't going to be one of the ones that there's open public input on in Copenhagen. It sounds like there's still some consensus seeking to be had. So I don't think
it's my understanding, I guess, that it's not going to be on the agenda for the meeting on the 10th, the all-day CCWG meeting on the 10th. Is that right? Please, go ahead, Tatiana.
Yes, Robin, thanks a lot. Tatiana Tropina speaking. Yes, this issue was raised on the call because to finish this document, the group has to have at least one more call, and it doesn't seem realistic at all, also because the deadline for submitting any documents which will go public is the 3rd of March. But even if we have the next call, many people will be traveling and they will not be able to attend, and this will exclude many of the active group members from the consensus build exercise. So to put it short and simple, no, I don't think, and I think it was confirmed on the call, Avri, correct me if I'm wrong, this document will not go public for the Copenhagen meeting as a document at least. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. So it sounds like there isn't even going to be another meeting or discussion on this particular subtopic, this particular working group, until after Copenhagen. So does that mean we can sort of take it off the burner of our minds right now, or and focus on the ones that are going to be in play in Copenhagen, or is there some aspect about this that we need to be doing something with now?
Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. Well, you know, for those who are involved into all this, of course we have to be aware every day because we are getting comments, we are drafting, we are discussing, even outside of the call times. But for those who just want to see the final product, yes, very sad to say right now, as I want as many people to get involved into this as possible, yes, you can take this off your mind and leave peacefully until we produce the final document. So anyone who is not keen to participate in all these heated debates and battles, just wait for the final result and you will have an opportunity to chip in with the public comments. Thanks.
Okay, great. That's super helpful. Did anybody else have anything they wanted to add on this particular subtopic, the human rights one? Okay, I do not see any hands or hear any voices, so let's move on to the next sub-issue, which is the influence of ICANN's jurisdiction on operational policies and accountability mechanisms. So this is the thorny jurisdictional working group. And I believe that this particular working group has put together a questionnaire on the jurisdiction issues. They finalized that, and it looks like Farzi has sent it to the list, so let me just go grab it from the list, and then we can maybe take a quick peek at that and see what we need to do on that. Okay, I guess it hasn't posted yet. Oh, is this it? No. Okay. Okay. Well, I do not have a copy of that questionnaire in front of me, unfortunately. Okay, but I believe that's where we are. We need to take a look at that questionnaire and provide, I think, is it going to be an input from the stakeholder group, so it'll be like an NCSG input, or is this something that we're supposed to be individually commenting on? Individually, okay, okay. Okay, so we'll want to take a look at that. And is this one that we will be focused on in Copenhagen? It seems to me this one isn't quite far enough ahead yet. Okay, I see you say no too. Okay. Yeah, I don't think this one is quite far enough ahead or far enough along for us to be having final discussions on it. So I think we need to get the input from the questionnaire and then sort of go from there. So this one is one of the more sluggish subgroups. Okay, Farzi says the deadline is in April. and those affected by ICANN jurisdiction to tell their stories. Great. Okay. Is there anything that anyone else wanted to add on this jurisdiction issue? I see Ed's got his hand up. Okay, please, Ed, go ahead.
Yep. Thanks, Robin. Part of the discussion right now has to do with immunities, and it's gone down. And I very much respect Greg and how he's tried to shepherd this group into a productive path. But basically, a post went out either today or yesterday stating, do we really care about immunities? If we can find something there, do we want to actually make ICANN immune? Or should we just leave it until it comes up in the future? So I think they're trying to get around this by ever saying it's something we may actually want, or we'll come to it later, because the group has sort of been dragged down by this discussion by a few parties. Just thought I should bring that up. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Ed. That's really helpful. Did anybody else want to weigh in on the jurisdiction issue? And I guess it shouldn't come as too much of a surprise that it's been one of the ones that is more slow to reach consensus on. It was pretty thorny in Workstream one as well. Okay, Farzi says she has a comment, but she needs to get connected first. Okay, so I will just wait for Farzi to get connected. I see we've got a couple hands up, Ed and Avery. Ed, is that an old hand or a new hand? Okay, old hand. Okay, Avery, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Avery speaking. I think we're still very much in the same fundamental issue that we're in Workstream 1. And some people see it as the issue that in Workstream 1 we were told we could talk about in Workstream 2, whereas others feel that what they got in Workstream 1 made them safe and they don't want to ever see it touched. And so we're still very much at that point. And that theme comes up in every discussion. And even when people are not talking about, for example, moving jurisdiction at all, they just want to talk about what are the implications of that and is there any way to mitigate them. That is defined as out of scope because we're not supposed to talk about where the jurisdiction of ICANN is, and people respond. But we're not trying to move it. We just want to mitigate some of its ill effects. Nope, we're not allowed to talk about moving the jurisdiction. And if you want to talk about moving the jurisdiction, you got to tell us a place that's better. I said, no, we just want to talk about how to mitigate the ills. And that discussion continues, and it permeates every other one of the issue discussions. So in some sense, while jurisdiction has produced lots of words, it's still very much at that fundamental question of, is there a way to mitigate any of the conditions of our current jurisdiction? If so, what is it we need to mitigate, and how do we do it, and how does being a participant in many other jurisdictions, a business doing business in other jurisdictions, how does that affect the issue? But we keep coming back to the zero question of, but we can't move it. And well, even though no one's talking about that, but that's used as the barrier to any deeper conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I worry that this subgroup could end up in some sort of stalemate that just, you know, kind of goes around the same issue over and over again and can never quite reach a consensus. And I worry about what that could possibly mean for all of the other subgroups for which, you know, consensus has been found. And might that leave things hanging in these other groups as well? And we can talk about that later, but I think it's worth thinking about, you know, what kind of impact that could have, and maybe this is a place where we better be really careful because that could provide a point of non-consensus that could maybe blow up the whole package. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I'm just kind of trying to think ahead what could happen. Okay, so I see we've got a couple more hands up. Tatiana and then Farzi. Please, Tatiana, go ahead.
Thank you, Robin. I would like to echo your comments because the jurisdiction subgroups look like Groundhog Day sometimes. It's like you come on these calls again and again and again, and half of the calls are about the scope. And even if one call would be about a deeper work on the questionnaire and whatever, the next call, someone will raise the issue of the scope again. I agree with you, Robin, that it might hang things up in the air because... how to say, I think that on one of the last accountability plenaries there was a debate whether the Workstream 2 report is going to submit it as a single document or many documents. And many of people actually voted for a single document, but I believe that if jurisdiction is going to the stalemate, the only way to solve this issue is just pull out jurisdiction report out of the whole document and go ahead with the rest of the reports. And I believe that this would be the only probably way out of this stalemate. Otherwise, we don't want to debate all the issues, you know, for 4 years before the final report is issued. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Yeah, that's a really good suggestion to we could maybe just have it pulled out if it ends up being in the stalemate. Okay, Farzi, please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Robin. Farzi Anabadi speaking. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
So as to the jurisdiction and raising the issue of immunity and granting ICANN immunity, the thing is that there are a couple of people that raised that issue on the list and different like supports getting an answer to the question of how can ICANN be granted immunity while maintaining its accountability mechanism. The trouble that I see on the list, and I have not raised this issue on those, but I can see that the answers that this group of people receive is not a legal answer. There are answers by the group, by the jurisdiction group. So the matter of neutrality is important, and I think if these questions have not been answered before, and if it is in the mandate of this group to look at them, then the answers should come from a third party. Now, there are people that say that the questions have been answered in Workstream 1, but until now, I don't know if I have not followed a couple of days, but I have not seen a document that says what will happen if we grant ICANN, like a legal expert document. And I think it's, and if, like with the two conditions, that if it's in the mandate of the group, and if these questions have not been answered, I think it's only fair that they get their questions answered by a neutral third party. But we also have to consider the sensitivities that these questions raise. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Farzi. That's a very interesting suggestion to reach out to a neutral third party to perhaps get some answers and move this forward. Okay, so it sounds like I don't see any more hands. I presume that's an old hand, Farzi. Tell me if I'm wrong. I see it. It's up. Oh, yep, okay. Okay, so was there anything else that anyone wanted to add on the jurisdiction issue? Or should we move on? Okay, I don't see any hands or hear any voices, so let's move on to the next subtopic, which is SOAC accountability. And I believe Aubrey is one of the rapporteurs for that group. And I think we might even have that one might be a big topic for discussion in Copenhagen. Aubrey, can you give us an update on this one?
No, that's me or Robin.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I am the
I apologize. Yeah. I got those. I apologize. I got SOAC accountability and staff accountability mixed up in my mind. So let me apologize and see if I can ask that question.
I don't have much of updates. We are working on these recommendations for SO and ACs to maintain their accountability, prevent from capture by certain group. And we sent questionnaires to SO and ACs and asked them about their various mechanisms for accountability. And we have kind of analyzed these responses and came up with some recommendations. We are still drafting more recommendations, and Tatiana also actively engaged with that. And at the moment, we are going to see if we can reach consensus and try and submit the document on Friday so that we can have the first reading in Copenhagen. But the recommendations, as far as I see, they're kind of like they're just recommendations. There's no talk about implementing them or anything like that at the SONAC level. But there are just certain recommendations to keep the SONACs transparent and accountable to their members and their designated groups. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Okay, great.
So it sounds like you are in support of the way the recommendations are coming together, and this is something that I think we will be discussing in our big plenary session on 10th, the all-day session in Copenhagen. So that sounds great. We've got one that we can dig into, if you will, in at ICANN 58. Okay, I see Tatiana's got her hand up. Please, Tatiana, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, I would like to thank Farzi because she's doing an amazing job in that group, and I can't say that I'm that actively involved. But as someone who is not that actively involved, I would like to give some of my perspective on this, and especially might be helpful for those who are going to the accountability face-to-face meetings. On the last call on the SO and AC accountability group, there were some issues raised that the applicability of the recommendations on accountability should be always, you know, should always have a kind of caveat, like they could be applicable only when they are applicable or only in particular situation. Even the discussion on the call showed that if this caveat would be inserted in such a blank way, basically no AC and SO would be accountable to anything because there would be always an exception which can be provided under this blank, you know, exception of accountability or applicability recommendations. So I believe that while maybe it is too late to chip in right now and to raise this concern to the document, we might want to address this at the plenary session or during the public comment. I believe that the first document, which was produced by Farzi and Steve Del Bianco, didn't have this drawback, but right now some of the voices, you know, are trying to redraft it a bit and basically provide the way out for many cases. And I believe that we might want to have some closer look at this. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Tatiana. I remember at one point there was some discussion about whether or not the independent review panel process, the IRP process, was something that would be incorporated into SOAC account, which the IRPs, I guess, could be brought against an SO or AC. And I'm not sure where that discussion ended up or if it's ended up any one place in terms of where it was coming together and the recommendations. Farzi, do you know, or is that not really an issue?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, it is not. Well, the group, we discussed it with the group, and the recommendation, the conclusion about that, which we are going to talk to the group about again, is that IRP is not applicable to the SONAC. And we discussed it with the group, and there are a couple of reasons why IRP is not and cannot be applicable.
Okay, so it sounds like that's a closed issue then, that it won't be applicable. Okay, was there anyone else who had any questions on SOAC accountability or wanted to weigh in on this? I see Aubrey's got her hand up. Please, Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Aubrey again. Just quickly, I don't think that is a good solution, and I don't think that we can call anything closed. I mean, these are just recommendations that are coming to the plenary, and that is the place to reopen anything that should be open. So anything that is basically producing another null document that says, here are some ideas, but you don't need to pay attention to them, you know, the applicable if relevant everywhere, is really not a solution that we should just say, it's closed. I mean, it's within the group it may be at this point, but certainly not at the plenary level. And the whole process is a little group research consensus, it moves on, and the other group tries to reach the same consensus. But if it can't, you go back to it. So, yeah, thanks.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for that clarification. Did anyone else want to get in the queue on SOAC accountability? Let's be sure we all go through those recommendations in advance of the Friday plenary in Copenhagen. Okay, I don't see any hands or hear any voices, so let's move on to the next sub-issue, which this time it is staff accountability, and I believe Aubrey's is the rapporteur of this one. And again, I do apologize for getting those confused in my head last time. And again, I think this is another one that is going to be on the agenda for discussion at the open plenary on Friday in Copenhagen. Aubrey, can you bring us up to date on this one and where we are? Thanks.
Yeah, this is Aubrey. I could talk about this one a little bit. Okay, first of all, while we're slated to bring a document for first reading, we're failing to do so. We will be bringing a document with a cover letter that we're still working on that basically talks about an issue that came up at our last meeting. So we do have a document A. It was getting close. It was a little wordy, it was a lot wordy, and definitely had problems in the document, but contained the concepts and notions that the people before last night's meeting wanted to talk about. At last night's meeting, and basically things that were responding to the charter group, which was, discuss the roles of board staff community, specify relationships between board, staff, and community, propose changes and clarifications, recommendations, activities should be started, continued, stopped. So, and that's what we're working on. And perhaps we did the document in a little bit too much of a bottom-up way, and the rapporteurs should have really started the document, but we didn't go that way. We're going that way on document B, but we didn't on A. Document B is basically a more prescripted, here are documents that govern staff behavior, that govern staff interactions, and these are changes or these are new documents that are needed approach. So it's much more a specific thing. So last night, basically, George came on and speaking not as a participant, though he has been there a long time as a participant and a very welcome participant, but mostly didn't speak. Last night, basically speaking as liaison, he starts with, I think the whole report should be thrown out. And then says, because you're not really answering the question, which is, you know, some people say there's an elephant in the room and we're not talking about it. I tend to say there's a big gray thing covered by a sheet and we don't really know what's under the sheet, but be that as it may. That there's an elephant in the room and you're not talking about it, and it consists of two points. One, people are afraid of talking about staff problems because they're afraid of retaliation in one way or another, and this is especially true when talking about registries and registrars because they have such an interaction with the GDD that affects their businesses. So any small problem with can turn into a business consequence. And in fact, we are informed that the registry stakeholder group is attempting to write up a description of this elephant, but is having difficulty doing so diplomatically, that doesn't single out anybody and get them in trouble based on things that are going on in the background that none of us see. So that's one issue that we haven't specifically, but it's alluded to perhaps. And that the other one is that there is no method for remediating these issues. Now, a method for remediating those issues, if we get there, would be something that's in Document B. So at last night's meeting, instead of trying to finalize our document for a first reading, we do have one more meeting before this Friday. No, it's this Thursday, right, so that we can have a document by Friday, is that, you know, so we didn't complete a document for first reading, but we did decide to send forward document for discussion where we discussed, you know, this scope issue and what George is saying seemed out of scope. I think the group's more than willing to tackle that, but really needs the plenary to give us a by your leave to do so, because to us it looks like it's stretching on the scope a bit. On the other hand, we had Greg come into the meeting and essentially agree with George that we should do something different. But even though we think we've been meeting the scope, he basically identified the text that we had now as not being within that scope, something we've seen happen in a couple different groups at different times, the scope argument. So it also put all of the text that we have in some doubt. We have text that's very heavily commented by Greg, and that's good. So basically, but I'm both disheartened. I'm not terribly worried. If people remember in this group, we waited forever for the staff to give us documents that would allow us to even know what was going on, to have any idea of what their processes were. Now, there's one way in which we are not meeting our charter, because it says we're supposed to be working with staff on this. And while we have, you know, the standard staff support that one has for one of these subgroups, we don't have anybody from staff who's working the issue with us. And so that's another thing that we're going to bring up in the discussion, is if we work on this with staff when staff isn't really into working with us on it. And I'm sure Jordan will find a much politer way of saying much of what I'm saying. You know, he's good at that. So Jordan is my co-rapporteur. So that's pretty much where we're at. So we're bringing an issue, we're bringing a discussion where we finally, I think, with the document we have, got to the point where people are actually discussing stuff and disagreeing with each other. Before that, for much of the time, we were in a waiting state. So that's where we're at. Thanks.
Thanks very much. That's really helpful. I wonder, though, to what extent or how much weight should George's view on this really be allowed to sort of stop the draft?
I understand that the board is innocent to let go, you know, to give some of this power for accountability over the community with respect to how they manage staff. And so, you know, throughout this entire CCWG process, every time the board has intervened, it's always been to say, you know, no, you can't do this, stop this. So, given his own conflict of interest on the issue, I wonder how much weight should it be given. Now, you know, so Greg comes in and he is a member of the GNSO in the community, and so we do have to, you know, give some weight to what he's saying, I think, on this issue, to be fair. But I just, you know, I just worry that if there's an impression that George can make a pronouncement and, you know, that stops something from going forward, I think that's the wrong approach. But maybe I've misunderstood that. And I've got another question, too, but it's a kind of a little bit of a different issue, so I'll come back to that. I see you've got your hand up, Aubrey. Please go ahead.
I think you have a very good point there. I think within the group, within the sub-teams, I think that we have to give it enough credence to take it back to the plenary. In other words, when the board comes and says, hey, listen, I'm telling you that this is not going to be acceptable and that we need to do something different, I think that we as a subgroup have to give it enough credence to say, okay, let's take this one back to the plenary. And I think the plenary can well say, thank you very much, we'll take it. But I don't think the subgroup can quite as easily do it. You know, and then, you know, George today basically went through the document and saying, with my personal hat on, here are all my recommended changes and deletions. So, you know, there's that. So I think we have to take it into account. I think it's important for the discussion in front of the group. I think this is the first instance we've seen of the old style board with its last minute intervention that sort of throws everything into a tizzy. But I think we have to cope with that. And I think taking the discussion to the plenary is indeed what we can't sort of take the document to a first reading while we're dealing with a scope issue like that. Thanks.
Okay, no, that's totally fair to have the plenary look at the issue. And then I had another question on this group. I know before we talked about wanting this group to look at sort of the incentive structure that the staff is under to meet, you know, performance deadlines and how they relate to the community's performance and the positions the community takes. So I just wanted to see if that is an idea that's been incorporated into this subgroup, because I think it's really important to get an understanding for how, you know, the carrots are laid out in front of them. Yes, please go ahead.
Interestingly enough, I mean, the topic was on behalf of NCSG put on the table, and I think early on it was the sort of said, well, that may be an example, and it is that in scope. Now, with George's saying, well, you know, let's open up the scope to what are some of the problems. In fact, one of the things we have seen is that almost every group that's spoken has talked about some sort of problem that hasn't been resolvable or some sort of issue that they're very concerned about with staff. So I think this is NCSG's sort of entry into that, you know, questions of, well, here are specific facts, you know, and or actually things we don't know, because in the information we got, we certainly did not get anything on the incentive structure, but nor did we specifically ask for that yet, because that was in early discussions and there's very few NCSG people participating actively in the group. It just didn't get carried through. But I think it's a very good thing for us to bring up during the discussions in Copenhagen when somebody suggests, well, we need to talk about the real issues. Well, this is one of the real issues if we want to go there. And it'd be good to see that covered, but at the moment we have no information on that.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for putting that issue in the discussion in that group. I think it's important to follow that through to the extent we can. Did anybody else want to get in the queue on this issue, staff accountability? Sounds like it's one way or another is going to be a topic for discussion in Copenhagen, whether it's maybe even if it's not in the official plenary, but certainly on people's minds. Okay, well, I don't see any more hands or hear any more. Yes, please.
I was just saying it will be in the plenary, just not as a first reading of a recommendation.
Ah, got it. Okay, great. So that's definitely something we need to be sure that we review before that meeting on Friday. Okay, well, anybody else want to weigh in on staff accountability? I don't see any hands or hear any other voices, so I guess we can move on to the diversity group, which it says on the chart, the dashboard, that we are expected to have a document ready for the first reading at the face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. Again, this is a couple weeks old, and so I'm not sure if that has actually changed or not. Is anybody here in the diversity group, subgroup, and can give us a little bit of a status update on that one? I believe, Rafiq, yes, you are on the call. Wonderful. Please go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi there. Hi, yes, I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Roman. That's an old status. We are working on the draft report, and we got discussion about some issues there. So I think it's unlikely that we get that for the plenary next week. However, what we may share first with the CCWG is the questionnaire. So we are now kind of making kind of last call and to kind of get the approval from the subgroup before sending it by Friday, which is the deadline for any material or for Copenhagen meeting full day session of CWG. So that first thing we did. So with regard to the report, the beginning we try to get input using straw man document, and after we compile it, the comments into the draft report using the template. Diversity topic sounds kind of controversial for some from the community, and so we had to spend time on kind of just a few paragraphs. We are not even talking about the whole document, just few paragraphs that with regard the understanding about the diversity of skills, and there was kind of confusion if it's we are putting skills against diversity or diversity against skills. So also with regard to the recommendation themselves, we are still kind of not really, they are not that elaborated for now. It's kind of the current status. I noticed that kind of the pace and the cell group is not that, we are not making quick progress, but hopefully in coming weeks we can try to move more quicker. So
thanks very much, Rafiq. So it sounds like maybe some of the controversy is about what types of characteristics are considered the diversity characteristics, which are sought out and which are not, and how to fit in with that. Or, you know, I sure hope we can get past the whole regional, geographical, language. But I realize it's also, you know, it's hard to put policies in place that can actually reflect, you know, true diversity. So I haven't actually seen some of these recommendations coming out of this group yet, but you think that this controversy is something that's going to, you know, kind of hold it up? Is it going to be another stalemate, or is this something that is just a little hiccup along the way and will get resolved here in the next couple of weeks?
Thanks, Robin. The homeless camp, I'm not sure if it will be in stalemate, but I feel that we spent a lot of time just to tweak just one paragraph, and that's the kind of no one. We don't know. We know that maybe we have kind of some concern from some folks, but we don't know where exactly. And to be honest, sometimes I'm kind of surprised at why issues are both. So, for example, like this case of the one paragraph about skills. I mean, we end up even by someone to have a discussion about non-discrimination, which is fine in general, but how it was brought as a context that is to put like kind of what. In the context of diversity, that when, because some people want really to push hard, even talking about quota, and so some folks like looks that they are kind of trying to may defend the status quo and asking for including non-discrimination clauses. But this provision, I think, already exists in ICANN space, and they are trying to find out the reference. But just to show how such provision can be used in such context, it's quite interesting. But so I guess we have maybe to find out also to clarify the purpose. And the area where we raise it is just really in the beginning, which is about describing the elements of diversity. We are not even talking about the recommendation per se, but since it for people kind of jumping to conclusion quite quickly, and sometimes the discussion becomes hard to manage. But we will see if we can make progress in the coming weeks. Probably we will try to clarify at least the elements of diversities and tweak the text to make it simple and also more clear. So we will see how things will go. Myself, I won't be at the DCWG full day session, so I'm not sure how things will go during that day about that topic, but we'll see how we will follow up anyway after that. So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, and also thanks for the work that you're doing in this subgroup. I know it's not easy, and this call is a very early, inconvenient time, so I do appreciate very much your joining us and
keeping us up to speed on this issue. Is there anyone else who wanted to get in the queue or have any comments on the diversity subgroup workstream 2? Okay, well, I don't see any more hands or hear any voices. So let's move on to the next subgroup, which is reviewing the cooperative engagement process, the CEP, which is the first step to filing an independent review panel matter. And I believe Ed has been leading that particular subgroup, so let me ask him if he can give us an update on where we are there. Please, Ed.
Yeah, thanks, Robin. The CEP right now, I can say, it is a mixture of failed leadership, namely mine, unfortunately, and a bunch of people who have an interest in this, who are participating in it, but are unwilling to do the work in the group, and folks in the group who really have never been through a CEP and don't bring a lot of subject matter knowledge. And we combine that with what can best be described as stonewalling tactics by ICANN Legal. So let me start with that. In our last call here that you put together, Rob, I mentioned that ICANN Legal just hasn't been responding to inquiries from me and fulfilling commitments they made at our first meeting to give us a list of 4 past participants in the CEP so we can reach out to them. Since we last spoke on this call, future board member Leon Sanchez has attempted to get information from ICANN Legal. They've ignored him as well. A week ago today, February 21st, I was told by Bernie Turcotte of ICANN staff that he had spoken to Sam Eisner and that Sam would contact me that very day with the information we had requested. I have yet to hear from Sam despite 2 emails from me to her office this week. So we have a situation where we need information from ICANN Legal to go forward. It has not been forthcoming. We have a group that isn't overly enthused about the subject matter, interested but perhaps not enthused. So I've spoken to my board liaisons, Chris Despain and Mike Silber, who have been very supportive. We have had conferences with the tri-chairs, with staff, and staff actually had this amazing suggestion. Why don't we let ICANN Legal write the rules, then we'll comment on them? Well, that was rejected. But the alternative, which was accepted, isn't one I'm thrilled with, but it was the only one that really seemed to make sense, which is basically I'm going to write the CEP rules, and then I'm going to put them out for everyone to work on and make it a hell of a lot better. We're trying to do something here which really hasn't been done before, which is out of the plenary, we've came up with this idea of taking something called structured negotiation, which is sort of an in-between step, in between what we have now, which ICANN would like to continue, which is the closed room, you get in there and talk to each other, where all the advantages in the home team, it's with ICANN Legal, as Robin and I experienced once. The other approach would have been a very strict mediation type set up with a lot of rules, which, as I spoke with Dave McCauley and Becky Burr in their group, it really didn't make much sense to have a mediation before a mediation. So we're borrowing the idea of structured negotiation, which has been used in the States for a lot of disability claims, where you try to get parties going forward to reach an agreement with the help of a third party. So that's the goal. Now, in my negotiation, I'm trying to figure out some other way to do this, ICANN did agree to purchase and bring to Copenhagen with them 2 books for me to use as a guide. So we got them to spend a little money on something. And literally, I'm going to do what, if Robin particularly will recall, what we did in Trademark 50 in Beijing, which is when Robin, who at the time was NCSG chair, decided, yeah, we're going to fight this thing. I basically locked myself in a hotel room in Beijing for a week and did the initial draft. So that's going to be the approach to the CEP since we haven't gotten the response needed out of the group. Since I can't get the cooperation to date of ICANN Legal, I'm literally making appointments with as many people as I know who have been involved in CEPs with the board liaisons. I will reach out again to ICANN Legal, take in as much information as I can early on in the meeting, use the books ICANN gave me, and hopefully at the end of Copenhagen, we'll have an initial set of proposed CEP rules that will spin out to the group and hopefully entice folks to comment, participate, and do some work to make them much better than what I could come up with myself. But that apparently is the way forward. The tri-chairs have signed on. Staff has signed on. So I guess that's what we're going to do. It's not my first choice. I certainly didn't sign up to be a reporter to do all the work in this way, but at this stage, it seems to be the one way forward where the community will maintain control over the process rather than ceding it to legal at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. And, you know, actually, I think this sounds great. You say it's not the ideal, but I think it is the ideal when we get to write the first draft.
What I love about your comment is we get to write the first draft because I really hope I can count on you there because you and I pushed it. we're talking not even work dream one. There was something before work teams. I think it was work parties. We were both yelling about this in work parties, so this is our chance to actually do it because, quite frankly, no one else really seems to care about it but us and the parties involved, namely ICANN Legal, because I don't know. You could say that it's just been on the desk to be done, but, man, this has been going on now since October 26, where I've been promised information, and despite repeated attempts, despite intervention by future board members, they're just not responding. So they're not interested in reform, so we're going to have to do it ourselves. Thanks. Thanks for the comment.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I'm actually wondering if this might be a situation where Rosemary or some of the other independent counsel who have expertise on, you know, these very specific processes can help.
Why don't I make the request?
Pardon me?
The legal committee, which you or I,
yeah,
can I make a request.
Yeah.
And maybe we can start spending some of the $1.4 million we have in the bank account. Great idea. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. I actually think this is great that it's going to, you know, happen this way. Okay. Anybody else want to get in the queue on this? Okay, well, I do not see any other hands or hear any other voices, so I guess we can move on from that one. Okay, so the next subgroup is the one dealing with increased transparency at ICANN, and that set of recommendations has been, I believe, put together for a while now and gone through a couple of readings, and Michael is on the call with us here, and he's been the rapporteur of that group. So why don't I ask him if he can give us an update on where this one is, and I think it's going to be open for public comment, if not now, very soon. So, Michael, can you update us on the transparency report?
Hi, thanks very much. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So it indeed open for public comment at the moment. It's just been put out for public comment. Now, we had a brief back and forth with ICANN staff to sort of get the document distributed, but it should be available now. You know, so we're at a more advanced stage of the process. In terms that our work has now been approved by the working group and is been put out there. We've produced, I think, some very strong recommendations on the four issues which are before us, namely reform of the DIDP, transparency of board deliberations, transparency of interactions with governments, and ICANN's whistleblower policy. We were able to have some very vigorous debates around a lot of these issues, including how our work impacts the ombudsman and human rights groups, as well as, you know, certain particularly important changes that we're recommending being made. And although we're in a more advanced stage of the process, we still very much welcome participation and engagement. I think that there's going to be some very strong debates ahead, particularly since we have not yet heard back from ICANN staff or ICANN Legal about our recommendations, and I'm sure they're going to weigh in and they're going to have some strong thoughts. So, again, we very much welcome participation. We very much welcome inputs. Please don't be shy about coming in and make your voices heard. And it's, I think, particularly important to have strong voices in favor of transparency, particularly as we may face pushback to improve the structures that are in place at ICANN. I'll be at the face-to-face in Copenhagen. I'm not actually completely sure how and to what degree transparency is going to be on the agenda, but I'll be there and I'll be very happy to gauge, as well as if there are other avenues to provide inputs, we would very much welcome them.
Happy to do.
Thanks very much, Michael. I really appreciate that. I actually think that this might, we might want to provide public input on this particular report in the public forum. And, you know, when the part of the ICANN, when they open up the floor to any issue to make a comment on, because I'm guessing they're not going to have one specifically on this issue, you know, I think it might be great if NCSG could get up there and say that it's important that the these recommendations be implemented and, you know, kind of draw attention to this particular issue and the work that's been done here and try to, you know, just do what let the board hear that we, the community, think it's, thinks it is important that they take this seriously. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts on that or on this particular sub-issue. Did we miss something? It's, you know, public comment is now, so it's not too late to start screaming and saying add this or fix that. But it will be soon. So anybody else want to get in the queue on this? Okay, I see Joan's got her hand up. Please, Joan, go ahead.
Hi, Joan, for the record, I was going to listen, but I wanted to address the increased transparency. Because I think since we are at the beginnings of the IANA transition sort of thing, it's a great thing to actually address. And maybe one that I wanted to ask, I think it was Michael, maybe I'm wrong. If it's something that is not on the table to be discussed, maybe something, a report on some of the best practices of organizations that had increased transparency and how it, that impacts the organizations and members. That might be a really good starting point so that there's a showcase of best practices and how it worked within any organization. So I just wanted to ask if there was anything on that work being done.
Should
great.
I?
Thanks very much, Joan.
Sure.
Yes, please, Michael, go ahead.
Okay, great. So great to hear from you. So that, in terms of best practices internationally, was very much front and center of the work that we did, particularly around the DIDP and the requesting processes. It was a little bit tricky in the sense that ICANN is a bit unique as far as organizations go. I mean, you can compare it to international organizations, you can compare it to governments, you can compare it to international financial institutions, but there's no kind of cookie cutter model that you can just apply to them. So we had to sort of look to a range of different sources to find where this is done well and to try to apply those lessons to ICANN. But certainly front and center of the report, the initial discussion is about the benefits of the right to information, about the benefits of transparency, about how transparency has benefited comparable organizations, and why it is important for ICANN. So we are very much trying to make that case as strongly as we can, but obviously if you want to take a look, we would always welcome inputs on that.
Great, thank you very much, Michael. Okay, so I think this is an issue that we need to have an NCSG submitted comment in the public comment forum, so we might want to make work with the policy committee, and I believe Rafiq is the chair of the policy committee. So Rafiq, that means let's you and I talk about this a little bit further. You know, about getting some comments in the public comment period on this particular report, and also supporting it in the public forum in Copenhagen. Okay, did anybody else have any thoughts on this one? Transparency. All right, not seeing or hearing anyone, let's move on to the next issue, which is the reform of the Ombudsman's Office. Let's just see where we are here. I'm not sure much has happened on this one. I know, Ed, I think you've been somewhat involved in this group. Can you give us an update, a status update on this particular subgroup?
Yeah, sure, Robin. They I've been talking to Sebastian. Sebastian was running for election for another office at some point. I think he got distracted a little bit. I like Sebastian. One of the things we're doing is, remember Workstream 1, I was trying to do something the Ombudsman. We'll be sending out a joint letter to the Workstream 1 Ombudsman Group participants, asking them to join Workstream 2 to try to bolster the numbers a little bit. We're waiting for the public comment. The at least as I understand it, and there are others here on the call who are in the group, but basically they're doing the independent ombudsman assessment, and we're waiting for staff to notify us as to the vendor selected. And apparently that's going to be known by the next committee meeting, which is on March 6th. I do want to mention one thing that I've asked staff to do. It always seems that ombudsman meetings are at 5 in the morning, and I know there's pressure to do so because of the old ombudsman living over in, I guess, New Zealand or Australia, somewhere over there. So I have asked staff to put together a list of the times these calls have been held, because I don't believe we're actually on a rotation. But besides that, we're waiting for the selection of a vendor for the independent ombudsman accession process. And so things are pretty much stalled until that happens. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. So we'll just sort of keep that one on the back burner and wait for that report to come back, and then we've got something to work with, sounds like. Okay, did anybody else want to get in the queue on this one? Okay, I do not see any hands or hear any voices, so let's move on to the last of the subgroups, which is guidelines for ICANN boards. Standard of conduct with respect to the removal of board members and the indemnity provisions related thereto. So this particular subgroup just produced a report, and it went to the plenary, just our very last plenary, and was approved. So I think that was the, I'm not sure if that was the first or the second reading, however, that we approved it. It might have been the second reading. Let me just take a quick look here. Yeah, I think that was the second. It was the second reading. So, Ed says it was the first. Okay, I was just looking at the dashboard there, which had a expectation that it would be the second. Okay, so, but still, this one went through the plenary, and nobody seemed to have any problems with it, so I expect it will go forward out for public comment. Did anybody have anything that they wanted to say on this particular report, this subtopic? The last one. All right. Well, I don't see any hands or hear any voices, so I think we can move on. That's the last of the subgroups. And so there was another issue on the agenda that I think we need to talk a little bit about, and it was brought up in our last plenary call the other day, and the issues of how are we going to evaluate and approve these this package of proposals. We've got 9 subtopics, so in a sense 9 different sets of recommendations going out for public consultation and approval, but at the same time they're all part of, you know, one tapestry and one joint working group effort. And so the issue was brought up, how do we want to handle this? Do we want to have the 9 subtopics each out for public comment individually? It sounds like some of that's happening anyways. If transparency is already out for public comment, they're not really waiting for this question to be answered. However, at least now they're starting to think about it, or we rather. And the approval of them. Do we want these individual subtopics to be approved by the chartering organizations on an individual by individual basis as quickly as we can get them done, get them approved, or do you want to sort of hold them all up and at the end of the day wait and have one big yes or no on all of the issues? We've talked about some of the pros and the cons with respect to taking it in either direction in our call last week, but I wanted to open it up here to see what other members of this group felt, because, you know, as you can see, we've got some rather contentious issues, and it could actually be a very important issue how we treat the report as a whole in terms of, you know, the success or failure of our accountability work. So I think it's worth thinking about and giving some discussion queue. So let's see, we've got a queue forming. Good. We've got Avery and Ed. Please, Avery, go ahead.
Thanks. Avery speaking. I tend to side with doing them all at the end as a package. I think along the way, doing each of them individually when they're ready is a good thing to do because there'll be lots of rework. But I think a final, you know, review and then the sending to the chartering groups should be done as a package, because otherwise what happens is some get solved and some, the pressure is off them and they can die forever, whereas the pressure to build the package forces the stragglers to get the input and the attention and the focus that they need to get finished. Whereas, we already got the important ones, transparencies out of the way, you know, we don't have to worry about that one, and jurisdiction and staffing are going to be nightmares, so, you know, let's dump them for some future time. That future time, you know, may be beyond any of our participation in ICANN. So I would, you know, and then also there'll be an issue of dwindling resources and, well, half the work is done, let's let half the staff move on to other projects, as opposed to, okay, we got part of it done, now let's focus our efforts on finishing the more difficult ones. So strongly for the package. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Avery. And let me just point out something here I typed in the chat, is that we've kind of got two different decisions to make on this issue. And one is, you know, how to deal with them at public comment level, and the other is how to deal with them at the approval level. And we may want to have different answers, you know, depend for different elements for each decision point. I just wanted to sort of draw that a little more on that. Ed, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Robin. I think it's a good differentiation, because I would actually have a different take on both. In terms of public comment, I'd like to get these things out as soon as we can. While I understand Arby's perspective, the one I have as a reporter is I'm really looking forward to having Laurie Shulman's group be able more or less to wrap up, because there are members of that group that I know have an interest in CEP. And if they no longer feel obliged to that group, I can bring them over to my group. So it's a way of getting volunteers to be able to shift to other groups that aren't as far advanced. Folks do take, Laurie herself, for example, has some interest in CEP, but until we get the seal of approval on her package, she doesn't feel able to come over to help me out with it. Secondly, I think that by putting them out for public comment separately and not as a package, things like the CEP, things like good faith, the smaller subgroups, they're not less important, but perhaps less salient, they get more attention than if they're part of a big package. And I think each one of these nine subgroups is important, should be analyzed individually. And from our perspective, as the folks writing public comments as well for the NCSG, it's a heck of a lot easier if we can just do transparency this month and have something else come up next month than to be looking to write a comment on all nine subgroup proposals at once. So I would side towards getting them out to public comments immediately, but then when you go into SOAC for approval, then throw in the entire package to, in our case, the GNSO Council, rather than doing that on a piece-by-piece basis. Thanks.
Thanks, Ed. It sounds like at the very least, we would at least want to require that the subgroup topics would get tied off as they're completed, so we don't have things, you know, that are sort of hanging open and can later somebody can come in and change, negotiate, do some horse trading for, you know, in transparency for what somebody else wants in jurisdiction, you know, that sort of thing. So I mean, I really I can understand, you know, both wanting to vote individually and vote as a package, but I think at the very least, we could at least find agreement within the CCWG that the subtopics, as they're completed, could at least be tied off to some extent. that was, you know, one possibility. Okay, so we've got a couple other hands up now. We've got Avery and then Rafiq. Please, Avery.
Thanks. I obviously expressed myself quite badly. What I was suggesting is that in the first place, when things are ready like transparency, they do their community comment and then, you know, respond to those comments and tie their document up. What I was saying is that at the end, I believe there needs to be another community review of the entire package. And so I was differentiating between a first review, then the tying up that comes after a first review, and then an assembly of the package. And indeed, I was arguing for the same benefit that Ed was, that as soon as people get their package tied up, then they can put some of their time into the other stuff. I think that I agree with you, Robin, that we don't want people horse trading. I do think, however, being that I'm dumb enough to be participating in all of them to some degree, consistency checks along the way, where we said something in one that we're saying something different in another, or implying something or allowing something different to be inferred. So I think there'll need to be a package check to make sure that everything is consistent, and then that goes out for a second review as a package, and then approval by the chartering organizations. Hopefully, I was a little plainer this time, but I do agree with review now, tie it up, and then build the package. Thanks.
Okay, great. That's really helpful. So, you know, we want to have public comment on each individual subtopic as it's completed, and then it sort of gets tied up while we can devote our time and attention to the other subgroups, get those tied up, and they go out for public comment as they are completed. And then at the very end, we have, you know, one complete package sort of check, and it's, again, an opportunity for somebody who's got a real serious problem with some aspect of this to weigh in. But I think that, you know, considering these are significant measures, that's not an unreasonable thing to want, is, you know, essentially two public comments of the same material, but, you know, really considered from two different perspectives when the comment is being asked, the first time from the individual subject matter and the second time from, you know, an approval of the package. Does this get us where we want to go as a community? I think that's a really good approach, and it sounds like others in the chat have a similar thoughts on that. Did anybody want to weigh in on this issue? Okay, well, I do not see any hands or hear any voices, so let's take that approach and move forward to the next issue, which is talking about when we want to have our next NCSG meeting on CCWG accountability. So we've been having these about once a month. Of course, we'll be many of us will be meeting in Copenhagen in a couple of weeks from now. So what I wanted to propose was Tuesday, April 4th, which is about 2 weeks after we get back from Copenhagen. So we will have a couple weeks worth of working groups and the public comment, and we've had enough time to sort of digest and decompress from the meeting and to get back to working on this stuff. So does that sound okay to folks, April 4th? And if it does, I also wanted to propose two possible times. This time we met at 2000 UTC. Last month we met at 1600 UTC. So I just wanted to see what works best for most people. If anybody wants to weigh in on this issue, I'd appreciate it. I see Ed's got his hand up. Please, Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, it was great to have Rafiq in this call, since he sort of is the outlier geographically. Whatever time would be best for him, I think, is one perhaps we should aim for.
I think that's a reasonable request. I think both times, last month and this month, were tough for Rafiq. So I'd be happy to send out a doodle, or we could, Rafiq, you want to give me an idea about what time works is good for you, and maybe we could, what works for others? Okay, well, I'm not hearing Rafiq, so let's sort of leave the time of that meeting open. It's, quite a while from now, so we can hammer that down, what time is best. If anybody else has any comments. Oh, Rafiq says 1400 UTC. Okay. Okay, well, let's take that under consideration and get that hammered down in the next couple of weeks. Let's see, was there any other business? Did anybody want to add any other issue? Ed, is that a new hand?
Yeah, new hand, Robin. Sorry to prolong the call.
New hand, Robin.
Great.
I'm getting the feeling that our tri-chairs, first of all, in terms of tri-chairs, two questions here. One I just thought of, I wanted to talk about. We all know that Leon has been appointed to the board. Is it appropriate for him to continue to be a tri-chair while he's preparing to become a member of the board? I don't know. I'm putting that out there for conversation. Or is it a decision ALAP should make? But, B, I'm noticing on the tri-chairs that there's a push to continue to extend the length that we're going to be doing the CCWG, certainly past June 27th. And I'm wondering if anybody has thoughts about how long we should keep doing this. How long should Workstream should go on? Should we set a limit, set a drop-dead date that this has to be done by? Because I know right now budgeting is starting. They're starting to look at budgeting this to go further. Part of that, Robin, is I'm told that our $1.4 million for legal fees that we're entitled to, they don't want to give us any more money. And so I think the issue is, how long are we willing to extend this to? And then if it's going to go on for another 6 months, should we be fighting for more funding for the CCWG? Thanks.
Thanks, Ed. One of the things that we talked about in our plenary session last week on the 22nd was sort of like, possible timelines going forward. So we did, there is some idea about how long possibly end. Let's see. And so I'm looking at the slides from last, the call on the 22nd, and it had as our shortest path to completion is one possibility with one public consultation, and that would finalize on the 1st of October. And then if we had two public consultations, which it sounds like what we're talking about doing now, to more or less, it might be more realistic, it would finalize 30 February 2018. So basically a year from now is sort of the longest at this point we're anticipating it going, with figuring in all the timelines for the public comments and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I'm not sure I'm too worried about, this dragging on forever. I think that these might be, somewhat ambitious, but not terribly ambitious, I think. We are kind of coming to relative closure on a lot of this stuff. I don't know. Does anybody else have anything on this issue? It's kind of an interesting thought, but I think we're going to be finished with this, between around the, February 2018, 1 year from now at the latest, and I don't really think it's going to be a ton of work from us, because really what's going to be happening is things being out for public comment, and so it's not like really the group's going to be doing too much in terms of formulations of proposals and such. I don't know. Maybe I'm misjudging this. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this? I want to get in the queue. Comment on
any other business? Okay, well, I don't see any other hands or hear any other voices, so I guess we can call this meeting to a close, and everyone can have half an hour of their day back. Let me thank you all for joining and for participating in this working group. I know it's a lot of work, and I really do appreciate people kind of keeping me in the loop here in terms of where all the different subgroups are happening, because there's just so much happening. It's really hard to hold it all in one's mind at once. So I really appreciate the people who participate in these calls and who participate in the working group to sort of help me keep it all straight in my head as well, and I think our members probably feel the same way. So thank you all. And with that, let me close this meeting, and I will see many of you in Copenhagen very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you all for attending the call. Haley, you may stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you very much. Good night.